Shia in the series Brachas, Brachas Hananim. I'd like to talk today about the bracha on fruits and vegetables. You know, the Gemara in Brachas says that on fruits we make a bar pi ha'eitz, and on vegetables we make a bar pri ha'adam. The question is, what is defined as a fruit, what's defined as a vegetable? When do you make ha'adam, when do you make ha'eitz? So the Gemara in Brachas and Daf Mem says that when do you make a ha'eitz? When you take the fruit away, the gavza is still there, and it produces fruit the next year. What does that mean, that the gavza is still there? That's the machlokas rishonim. Some rishonim hold that as long as you don't have to plant a new tree to produce the fruit for the following year, that's viewed as a fruit, then you make a ha'etz on such a fruit, on such an item. Rov Rishonim disagree. Rov Rishonim say that this statement should be taken kipshuto, that the gavza is the trunk, the geza. The gavza means the geza, the trunk of the tree. It's not enough that the roots of the tree remain from year to year. But rather, you need that the tree itself stays from year to year. It's not enough that you don't have to plant a new tree. The fruits come out naturally the second year. But no, the geza itself has to be there. And if the geza, if the trunk of the tree doesn't remain from year to year, then you make a hadama on that item, not a ha'etz. It's viewed as a vegetable, it's not viewed as a fruit. What's a nafkamina? What does this matter? So that is for many, many different items that we know that we make a hadama on them, but we don't realize why we're making a hadama. Strawberries, for example. Strawberries and pineapples and bananas. The way it's described in the Svarim, all of these items, they grow on trees that the tree itself does not remain from year to year. But the root still is there. And the tree regrows from year to year. You don't have to actually plant a new tree. Right? So the roots remain, right? But the problem is the tree is not there. Because the tree is not there, according to Rov Rishonim, that's viewed as a vegetable, so you'll make a hadama on that item. According to the Bali Tosis, I guess you should have to make a ha'etz, because since you don't have to plant a new tree, that's viewed as a fruit, but we don't pass like the Bali Tosis. We pass like Rov Rishonim, and as long as the geza is mischalef, as long as the trunk of the tree does not remain from year to year, even though you don't have to replant the tree, you make a hadama on that because it's viewed as a vegetable. Besides strawberries, most other berries you make a ha'etz on, we treat them as fruits, like blackberries and raspberries and blueberries. The shaila for the other berries is a different shaila that's been addressed by the posting. And that is that even if the tree remains, but if it's a very low tree, or actually if it's a very low bush, most of these berries grow on bushes, not really on trees, but the bush is very low, that's still not called an etz, right? It's not called a pre-ha'etz. You wouldn't make a ha'etz on that item. So there's a discussion, not so much about raspberries and blackberries, but about blueberries, because it used to be that blueberries did not grow on such a tall bush. So the shit that the post can give is if the bush is not at least gimel tfachim, it's not called an ilan, and you wouldn't make a ha'etz on that item. Nowadays, this is not so relevant, because the way it's been described, even blueberries grow on a large enough bush, and the tree remains from year to year, so therefore you make a ha'etz on blueberries, it's really not much of a shame. The only berry that you make a hadama on is strawberries, and that's because the tree does not remain from year to year. It does regrow naturally, you don't actually have to plant a new tree, but because the tree does not remain from year to year, you make a hadama on that because it's viewed as a vegetable, even though we call it a berry, it's viewed as a vegetable, it's not viewed as a fruit. Now, the Gemara does point out that in the Eved, if you make a hadama on a fruit, you can be yotzei, because a tree grows in the ground. Make a ha'etz on a vegetable, you're not going to be yotzei, because vegetables don't grow on trees. Right? But the idea here is that you're supposed to make as specific a bracha as you can. That's why we don't just make a shahakol on everything, right? We make a hadam and a ha'etz, the mezonos, etc. We try to make specific brachas on different items. That's why l'chatchila, you should make a hadam on vegetables and the ha'etz on fruits. You shouldn't make a hadam on a fruit. But the evidence, if you do, that's okay. That's okay, even though it would be better if we would describe the fruit as a pri ha'etz. If you make a hadama, b'dieved, that works for a fruit. There are certain circumstances that the poskim point out that you don't make a hadamah on a vegetable, you don't make a ha'etz on a fruit. You don't make the specific bracha, the ikar bracha, but rather you would make a shahakal. Make a shahakal. When is that? So there are different cases that they give. One is, let's say, you're eating the fruit or the vegetable in an abnormal fashion. It's not darko bakach to eat it in that way. Then you would not make a hadamah on the vegetable or a ha'etz on the fruit. You just make a shahakal. What does that mean? So take, for example, let's say a fruit that you normally eat cooked. You don't eat it raw. A vegetable that you normally eat cooked and not raw. The poskim say that you make a hadam on that vegetable only when it's cooked, not when it's raw. Not when it's raw. Like a potato. No way to eat a potato is cooked, not raw. So you don't make a hadam on the potato when it's raw. Hi, but it's a vegetable. No, but it's not normal to eat it then, so it doesn't get its ikar broch. It only get a shahako. Why does it only get a shahako? Why does it not get a hadama and a fruit if it's not normal to eat it when it's raw? It doesn't get a ha'etz. So the Bir Halacha quotes from the Chaye Adam that the reason is that if the fruit or vegetable is normally eaten cooked, then before it's cooked, it's not viewed as a pri, not viewed as a fruit. It's almost like it's not a ripened fruit. Right? It's a lower quality, so because it's a lower quality, it only gets a shahako. This idea that the normal way to eat the fruit determines when it gets its zikr bracha, so that happens to be true. It's not really related to whether the state that the fruit is in makes it tastier. It doesn't matter whether it's tastier when it's raw or tastier when it's cooked. As long as it's normal to be eaten raw, normal to be eaten cooked, then it would get its specific bracha. And if it is tastier when it's cooked, lamashal, carrots. Right? Carrots, many people would say, are tastier when it's cooked. But because it's normal to eat the carrots when it's raw, we get a hadama even when it's raw. If it's normal to be eaten raw, normal to be eaten cooked, then it could get the same hadama both cooked or raw. If it's abnormal to eat it in the raw state, so then it's going to get a hadama, it'll get a ha'etz only when it's cooked. Okay? Something which is normal to be eaten raw will lose its bracha when it's cooked only if it gets ruined by the cooking process. Only if it's a grace. If it's not a grace, not an abnormal way to eat it, or it's not, forget about abnormal. People do eat it cooked, but it's not a deficient way of eating it, so it'll get the same bracha. The mushroom, apples. People often cook an apple, a baked apple, right? So a baked apple gets the same ha'etz as a raw apple. I think most people eat apples raw. Right? I think that's the normal way of eating an apple, but a baked apple is also a way to eat an apple. In fact, it's almost like a delicacy. I mean, I know people who serve baked apples for dessert. It's very, very sweet. It's somehow, by baking the apple, the juices and the sugars develop in some way. It makes it even sweeter. So certainly it's not a grace in the apple. It's not a deficient type of preparation. And that's why you make a ha'etz on the apple even when it's cooked, because it's not deficient. It's normal to be eaten, cooked, and raw. So that's why it gets the regular bracha. That's why it gets it.
Like, I was just like messing with the syrup. Like, for an apple pie, that's something that was cooked fully, but it's not the thicker food. You put like AIDS on an apple or the mazonas
no,
cover
it? For apple pie, you make a mazonas that would cover it, because since it's cooked all together, the rules of Ikka v'Tofel would apply. Well, not the regular rule, but Kol She'esh v'Mechamesh V'Nidogon, you make a mazonas. So, because that's, even though you can see the apple, but you eat it together, you eat it as one unit. So, I think we'd only get a mazonas, it wouldn't get a separate one. The post can point out that there are vegetables that are used primarily as like a tavlin, or as like to add taste to other items. So they would not get a hadamah because they don't have an independent chashivas. L'mashal, onions. And you'll add an onion to a hamburger, even if you don't eat it with a bun. If you make a hamotzi, so then clearly you're not going to make a separate bracha, you're not going to make a bracha on the hamburger either. But let's say you eat the hamburger with the onion separately, not as part of a seuda. You don't make a hadam on the onion. The onion is simply a tavlin. It's misham. It's first of all, it's tofel. It's tofel to the hamburger because it's mishamish to the hamburger, right? But it doesn't have an independent chashivas anyway because it's being used as a tavlin. It's not being used as a separate food. But let's say you would take an onion and you would prepare the onion. Somehow you'll prepare it in a way with oil, with other things, and you'll eat the onion separately. Then you wouldn't make a hadam on the onion. If there could be such a preparation, I'm not familiar with such a thing. Most people ask, what's the bracha on onion rings? Do you make a hadama on onion rings? The answer is no, you make a mazonos. because there you have so much breading that the onion is probably tofel to everything. This is not like a breaded fish cutlet or, you know, a breaded chicken cutlet like we described last time. There, the breading can be tofel. We can view the breading as tofel to the fish or tofel to the meat. I think onion rings, there's so little onion in there, it's basically a mezonos. It's basically a breading with a little bit of a taste to it. You wouldn't eat the breading by itself. Oh, you see, that's the biggest rye, that you wouldn't eat the breading by itself. Discussion for another time. All right, so I think on onion rings, the broch is mezonos because the ikar is the matzah. Okay, this is the first criterion, that you only make a hadama or ha'etz on the vegetable or the fruit if it's the normal way to eat it. Another case that the post can give where you would not make a hadama, not make a ha'etz, is juice. This is more relevant to fruits than to vegetables. Mitz, juice. The Gemara Brachas and Nachlam Ches says that on Duvsha de Tamri, honey from dates, you make a shahakal. Honey that's not from dates, avada, you make a shahakal. No shat, there's no connection to a fruit. But even Duvsha de Tamri, you make a ha'etz on the tamarin, but yet on the honey, you don't make a shahakal. Says the Gemara, why? My taima, zeya ba'alma. Zeya ba'alma. The juice is only the sweat of the fruit, so you'd only make a shahakal on the juice. And this seems to be a fundamental principle that Gemara is telling us, that you only make a shahakal on juice. What does that mean? Is a machlokas rishonim? What does that mean? Is this a general klal that you only make a shahakal on juices, or are there limitations to this rule? So there's a famous Rashba here in Brachas that says, and it's a function of what is normal, what the fruit is planted for, what the tree is planted for. If the tree is planted to eat the fruit whole, then you don't make a ha'etz on the juice, because taka, it's only zeya ba'alma, that's not the ikar of the tree, it's not the primary reason that the tree is planted, so then you don't make a ha'etz on the juice, because that's not the print, it doesn't define what the fruit is. But says the Rashba, if you plant the tree, al das, to squeeze the fruit and to make juice out of it, then you make a ha'etz on the juice. But it's all a function of what's dark or the kach. If not the ilona adaita de mitz, if you plant the tree with the intention to make fruit juice out of it, so then the fruit juice is viewed as the ikar of the tree, so then you make a ha'etz on the fruit juice, says the Rashba. The Rosh disagrees. The Rosh claims that the juice is never choshev enough to make a ha'etz on it. The stem of what the Rosh is saying is that it's nishtana tsurasa. The tsurasa pri, the form of the pri, has been changed. Once the form of the pri has been changed, don't make a ha'etz. It's not in its original form. It doesn't get its ikar bracha. It only gets a shahakal. The major machlokas, the Rashba and the Rosh, what's the din of fruit juices? You always make a shahakal because it's viewed as nishtana ha'pri, nishtana tsurasa. Why not? We don't view it as nishtana tsurasa. It's part of the pri. The juice is inside the pri. Why is that nishtana? It's a chelik of the pri. But if you plant a tree, al das to eat the full fruit, it's not al das the juice, so then the juice is not viewed as the ikar apri. If you do plant it for the juice, so then it is the ikar apri, you make a ha'etz even on the juice. What's the nafkamina between the Rashba and the Rosh? So the nafkamina obviously is, let's say you plant the tree, al das to use the tree, to use the fruit for juice. As far as it's very common to plant orange trees to make orange juice out of them. So what's the difference? You make a ha'etz on orange juice or not? So the Mishnah Berurah, the Sharetzim, Simin Reish Beis of Kotten Nun Dalit, wants to say that this should be dependent on the Machlokes of Rashi and the Rashba. So he says we paskin like the Rosh, right? So you make a shahakal on fruit juices. He says it should be dependent on this Machlokes. I think the minig is to paskin like the Rosh, so we would make a shahakal even on orange juice bezman hazeh. The Chazanish disagrees. The Chazanish actually interprets the Rosh differently. Chazanish wants to say that the Rosh would actually agree to the Rashba. If it's darko b'kach, if it's normal to squeeze the fruit, and if you plant the tree for the purpose of the fruit, then you make a ha'etz on the fruit. So Shiloh, what exactly does the Rosh hold? We're not holding in that sugi right now. But the Chazanish wants to say that the Rosh would agree to the Rashba about this. The Chazanish says that on orange juice, you make a ha'etz bizman hazeh. Because that's the ikar apri, since they're planting the tree for the purpose of the orange juice, and you make a ha'etz on it. The minig is not like the chazanish. The minig is to make a shahakal on orange juice, on all fruit juices, because we assume that that is dependent on the machlokas, the Rashba and the Rosh, and the minig is to paskin like the Rosh, that we assume that that the fruit juice is nishtanek tsuraso, it's not the ikka tsura of the priest, it doesn't get a ha'etz. I think we mentioned a little bit, a few shiurim ago, maybe last year, that Tosfos holds that on any mashke you make a shahakal, that even though there's a principle called she'esh v'chameshes min yadav v'mevarchim l'bar min mezonos, that on beer you don't make a mezonos, you make a shahakal. Aye, but it's no sintam, and that's the ikka presentation of the hops. So washing, apparently the Tosfos is saying that on mashke in general you always make a shahakal. Mashke is never choshev enough to get a more specific bracha. So it could be that there's like a tziruf between the Rosh and the Bali Tosfos, that the Rosh holds that juice is always nishtana tzurasa, and the Bali Tosfos said that mashke in general is never a significant enough presentation to get a specific bracha. So that's why we say that juices should get a shahakal, they don't get a specific bracha, they don't get chutz. Yes, David Shin.
So if one by accident makes a eats an orange juice, should go back and make a new bracha, or b'diavad he's...
I hear. Maybe b'diavad you can rely on the Rashba. It's a suffic bracha, so I probably would not go back and make another bracha. Probably not, because it's a suffic bracha. You can go lahakil in a suffic. Yes. A third issue that the poskim discuss, situations where there's a shaila whether you keep the ikka bracha for the fruits and vegetables, is let's say the fruit or the vegetable has been crushed. Okay, we talked about darko bakat, we talked about juices. The third case is let's say the fruit has been crushed. Prisha kotash. Let's say you crushed the fruit. Does ksisha change the bracha of the fruit or vegetable? So this is also a Gemara in brachas. Gemara says trima. Gets a ha'etz. What is trima? Trima means a fruit that's been crushed. Rashi explains. The Gemara continues that since we assume that a fruit, even after it's been crushed, still has a din of a fruit, so it's mutter to make trima even on Shemitah. We know there's a concept of kedusha shvias and perish shvias. You're not allowed to be mafsid the fruit. You can't destroy the fruit. So you can't use the fruit in a fashion, in a manner, which is not the ikkar way to use the fruit, because that's viewed as a hefsin. It's not the primary way to eat the fruit. But because the trima gets the same ha'etz as a regular fruit, so we assume that you're not, it's not called an ibud, it's not called a hefsin of the fruit, so you'd be allowed to do that in shmita. What is trima? How much can it be crushed and still keeps its ikkar bracha? That's a big machlokes rishonim. Rashi on the sugya says that trima means it's kotush ktsaras ve'eno merusak. It's a little bit crushed, but it's not pulverized. Not completely crushed. Apparently there are different gradations. The Rambam in Ilchas Brachas, when he quotes this halacha, he says, no, afim asa'on kemo isa. Asa'on kemo isa, you make it like a dough, meaning you not a dough, but you crush it completely. Crush it completely. Until it's pureed, it would be, it would seem. That's what the Rambam says. Until it's really pureed, until it's really pulverized completely, the Rambam says it gets a ha'etz anyway. Gets a ha'etz anyway, because that's the fruit. So what, that it's crushed, it still gets a ha'etz. That's what the Gemara is saying. Trima gets a ha'etz. Why should I distinguish between kotash k'tzas or asan k'min isa, merusak? The Rambam says, no, even if it's merusak, it still gets a very pure ha'etz. How do we paskin la halacha? Very important shayla. So the Mechaber paskins like the Rambam. And the Sfaradim would say that no matter how crushed the fruit is, it gets a ha'etz. No matter how crushed the vegetable is, it gets a hadama. Comes the Ramah, and it's choshesh for Rashi. Ramah is choshesh for Rashi to say that maybe if the fruit or vegetable is crushed completely, then it would only get a shahako. It's a sveika d'dina. So he says you should make a shahako on it. Machlokas, Machab Rama had a paskin. So now, within the Ramah, this is where it gets a little bit more complicated. Within the Ramah, what taka does Rashi mean? Now that we see that the Ramah is paskining like Rashi, but as long as it's only partially crushed, it gets its original bracha, but if it's completely crushed, then it would only get a shahakal, it wouldn't get the original bracha. So what does that mean? What does kotosh ktsas mean? How far does that mean? So that's a machlokas in the poskim, it would seem. You look at the svar in the Sifrei Halacha and those brachas, they seem to say that the poskim disagree about this. Mishnah Brura seems to distinguish between situations in which you have a little bit of a solid form left, to situations where it's all a puree. It's all just, it's almost like a mashke. It doesn't have any solid form remaining at all. Shtabur would say that if it has a solid form, it will get a hagama, get a ha'etz, still gets its original bracha, but if it's pureed, if it's completely turned into like a watery mixture, so then that would only get a shahar. That's how the Mishnah Berurah seems to understand. I saw Rabbi Wagner in the same bracha quotes from Shlomo Zalman, wanted to suggest something different, that maybe even something that's been crushed so much that it's a puree, as long as it's nikar lakol, as long as it's recognizable, what this item is, even though it's nimoach, it's a puree, it will get its original bracha, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says. That's not what Rashi means. Rashi means that if it's nimoach, if it's merusach so much that you can't identify the item, then it loses its bracha. Even if it's merusach, if you can still identify the item, it doesn't lose its original bracha. Interesting machlokas, right? Do we say that automatically once it's pureed it loses its original bracha, or only if it's pureed and you can no longer recognize its original, can no longer recognize it as the original fruit or vegetable? So what are examples of this? Take, for instance, mashed potatoes. I'm sorry, you had some?
Applesauce.
Applesauce, I'm going to get the applesauce. Take, for example, mashed potatoes. What's the bracha on mashed potatoes? The Poskim said that you make a hadam on mashed potatoes, just like on regular potatoes. But why? It's crushed. The answer is no. The solid form is still there. It's not a puree. It's not a puree. It's not a mashke. It's not a mashke. According to everyone, you still make a hadam. Right? Because it's not a puree. So everyone would say that's only kodesh ktsas according to Rashi. But how about applesauce? Applesauce, the minig is, so the shvua that they give is that it depends whether it's commercial or homemade applesauce. That's the nusach that they always say. It's not a halachah mushmi sinai that you make a ha'etz on homemade applesauce and you make shahakal on commercial applesauce. It's a function of how the applesauce is made. If it's the applesauce is made simply by crushing the apples, so then you probably make a ha'etz on the applesauce because you still have some kind of a solid form there. If it's made in a blender and it's completely crushed, and it's really made into a puree, it's almost like a mashke, so then it would make sense that you should make a shaka on that, because the form is not nicker. You don't really see the apples in there, it just looks like a liquid. That's the chiluk between homemade as opposed to commercial applesauce. Homemade applesauce still has a little bit of mamoshes of the apple in there, so therefore you'd make a ha'etz on that apple, so if a commercial doesn't have the form, so that's why you make a shakam. Alright.
Is there any difference if you have orange juice, which has a lot of pulp in it? Like, would that make any difference?
I'm not sure if the pulp is the ikar. Is the pulp the ikar? I think you would have to be able to see the actual pieces of fruit there. I'm not sure if the pulp, it's a good shiloh, but I'm not sure the pulp is ikar enough that it would keep its ikar bracha. Ezra?
Where is the line between juice and like
I don't know, how thick is the smoothie? Can you see? I think if it's pourable. Let's say if it's pourable, that's called a puree already. Smoothie probably is pourable. I'm sorry?
Depends if it's homemade or a store-bought. Like
smoothies that are homemade are not pourable?
I'm saying sometimes you can still have the pieces of this.
You see the pieces as a different story. If you really see the pieces, then it would keep its original bracha. But if you can't see the pieces, as long as it's pourable, even though it does have some mamushes left to it, but if it's pourable, I think it loses its original. But that's not mashed potatoes. Mashed potatoes are not going anywhere.
But applesauce is pourable.
But that's exactly the point. Even though the applesauce is pourable, if it has chunks in it, if it has some kind of solid elements to it, so then it would still get ha'etz, it would still get its original bracha. But the commercial applesauce is pourable, and it doesn't really have any chunks. It doesn't have any solid form in there. That's why I would only get a shot. Okay, David?
Give me an example of Shlomo Zalman's that it doesn't lose its
Bible. I'm going to give you an example in just a moment. Yes?
There's some types of mashed potatoes that aren't actually mashed potatoes. They're commercially made.
Reconstituted mashed potatoes. Reconstituted mashed potatoes? No, that's what it's called, I think. I think they break it down into flakes and then they make it. That's a machlokas in the poskim, right? So that actually might be a good example. I think Rav Shlomo Zalman would say that reconstituted mashed potatoes looks like mashed potatoes. So even if technically speaking it's been broken down and it's not really in its original form, but it looks like mashed potatoes, so again, it would get a hadama just like mashed potatoes themselves. How about potato kugel? What's the bracha on potato kugel? So if the potato kugel is made by crushing the potatoes, you still see some of the solid form of the potatoes. So that's a hadama, there's no shaira there. What happens if you put the potatoes in a blender? Put the potatoes in a blender and it's literally pourable. What's the bracha on that kind of potato kugel? So could be that's dependent on this machlokas haposkim. If you take the Mishnah Brewer's approach, once it's pureed and there really is no solid form to the potato, then the potato kugel should get a shahako. Take Rav Shlomo Zalman's approach more seriously, then you should get a hadama still, because when you bring it back to the potato kugel form, it looks like potato kugel. Everyone sees the potato in there. You see the potato. I think more than applesauce. Applesauce, you know, once you crush the applesauce and it's pourable, so okay, it looks yellowish, right? So that looks like an apple. Like a potato kugel, once you cook it, it really takes on that solid form. It has some kind of potato element to it. We do make potato kugel at home, and we actually put it in a blender. It really is pourable. But once you make that potato kugel, it looks just like any other potato kugel. It really has that solid form. Shlomo Zalman would probably say that you should make a hadama on that potato kugel. I think that's the minig. I think the minig is to make a hadama. Yes? It doesn't look like a potato. I think it has some kind of a solid form in there. Even if you put it in a blender? I think even if it's completely crushed, even if it's put in the blender. A store-bought potato kugel, is that ground even more? Commercially bought potato kugel? I don't think so. Maybe that's the pshat. Maybe the minig is to make a hadama potato kugel because you just assume that there's always going to be some kind of solid potato in there and you'll be able to see the potato. Maybe that's the reason. Okay, David?
Squash. So keep it like the orange, you still tell them.
It is orange, but is it completely liquidy, or do you have a piece of soups are very complicated. Soup is a complicated halacha, because the question is, if you take the soup, if you take the fruit or vegetable, you simply cook it, and it disintegrates in front of you, so does that... You're trying to say, why is it any different than crushing? Right. Why is it any different than crushing? I hear. Nacho soups is a complicated shayla. A complicated shayla. So what squash soup is simply made by taking the squash and cooking it and it disintegrates?
Yeah, I'm just curious.
That's really how it's made. Sorry?
It's blended.
What? I don't know. We have to look at the mitzias. Find out what the mitzias is in the squash soup. I don't know what the broth is in squash soup. Oh, squash soup, yes. That's like the yellowish or the orange? Orange soup, I don't remember having orange soup. But sometimes they serve a squash soup that has some kind of a yellowish texture to it. And it's thick, right? It's like I don't know. I mean, if you eat squash soup at a chasana, so you probably, well, I don't know if you probably, if you wash, then it's no shayla. Squash soup. We might have to look into it. It's blended.
It's blended.
Yeah. So if it's blended, I think less man the poly, blended, even Rav Shlomo Zalman would say that it should get a shahakal, but it doesn't have any surah.
Yeah,
it's not nicker.
It's not blended, which is not water.
I don't know. Poshup shot is it should get a shahakal. That's what I would imagine. It's probably the poshup shot, but I'm not sure. So let's leave that, and we'll try to look into it more. Shmuel?
Something's artificially colored.
I don't think it's enough just that it looks like a fruit or vegetable in color. It has to look like it in texture. It has to be some kind of a solid form that's similar to the fruit or vegetable to keep the ikar brach. The post can discuss, let's say you take a fruit or vegetable and all you do is slice it. You just slice it. You don't crush it. You slice it into smaller pieces. So then it should get the original bracha. Even though it might not necessarily look like the original item. See, this is the chiddush here. Here, it doesn't look like the original item, but all you did was slice the original item. So you can't say it loses its ikar bracha. What's the classical example of this thing? Potato chips. What bracha do you make on potato chips? Hadam? Right. You make a hadam on potato chips because all potato chips are is finely sliced potatoes. So you still have the potato there. You've roasted, finely sliced potato. So why would it not get a dunk? You haven't crushed it in any way. You've simply sliced it. Because the potato chips are not made out of potato flour. They're just made out of finely sliced potatoes. But what should the bracha be on Pringles potato chips? Does anyone know how Pringles potato chips are made? The way it's been described to me, Pringles potato chips are made out of reconstituted potato flour. I mean, they crush the potatoes, put them in the blender and crush them completely, and then they're reconstituted into something that looks like a chip. So the question is, what bracha do you make on that? So the chara, this should depend on the machlokas haposkim, like I mentioned before. According to the Mishnah Berurah, once you crush it, it loses its original bracha, so you should make a shahakal on the Pringles potato chips. According to Reb Shlomo Zalman, since it looks like a potato, it looks like a potato chip, I should say. He's saying it doesn't look like a potato anyway. Right. Doesn't look like a potato, it just looks like a potato chip. Shlomo Zalman held that you should make a hadama on Pringles potato chips. Rabbi Badner says that he brought to Shlomo Zalman Pringles potato chips. He says, make a hadama on it, it looks like potato chips. Potato chips, you make a hadama because it's thinly sliced. I guess he says, since you know that you make a hadama on potato chips, that indicates that you realize that potato chips are still potatoes. Anything that looks like a potato chip looks like. Anything that looks like a potato chip looks like a potato, so you should make a hadam on that too. So that's what Reb Shlomo Zalman apparently felt. Ellie?
Yeah, but they're only making the bracha on potato chips because they weren't changed.
It looks like a potato chip, so then it looks like a potato because a potato chip is a potato.
Yeah, but slicing it doesn't look like a potato, it's just that you didn't change it enough.
And it means that since you didn't change it enough, so that. Means that since you know that it's not changed enough, so that still looks a little bit like a potato. Looks like a French fry. Looks like it's a very thin French fry. French fry, you know, is still a potato. Does a French fry look like a potato? I guess when you bite the French fries, it looks like mashed potatoes inside.
If for some reason I would agree about it, if you cook with it becomes horrible and then becomes re-cooked, it looks like
a Pringle, no? No. What Ellie is saying is that the Pringles don't look like potatoes, they look like potato chips. So if you make a hadama potato chips, not because they look like potatoes, but because you haven't really changed the original vegetable enough, you haven't crushed it enough, so why should Pringles get a hadama? They only look like a potato chips, but they don't look like the original potato. I think you have to say that the potato chip, because it's only thinly sliced, so that's part of the definition of a potato. So if the Pringles looks like the potato chip, then it would get a hadama too. Yeah. How many people make a shahakal on Pringles potato chips? That's what many people do. They make a shakal. Not everyone agrees, but I think many say they make a shakal. What's the bracha on cornflakes? So it depends how the cornflakes are made. The cornflakes are made from milled corn. Look at the ingredients on the label of the box. But the cornflakes are made from milled corn. What does that mean, milled corn? That means that they take the endosperm, take some kind of an outer shell of the corn off, but the original corn is there, and then they beat the corn into the flake. If the corn is simply beaten into the flake, you make a hadama on that cornflake because it's still in its original form. It hasn't been crushed completely. It's only been beaten. You haven't made it into a flour. You haven't made it into something pourable. The solid form is still there, and then they bake it. That would get a hadama. But if the cornflakes are made out of corn flour, so then you've ground it up, and then you've reconstituted it into the cornflakes, according to Shlomo Zalman, maybe that would still get a hadama. I think according to other posts, that would get a shahakal, and I think that's the minute. The minute is that you make a hadama on the cornflakes that are made out of milk corn, the original cornflakes, I think Kellogg's cornflakes, you make a hadama on. But some of the other brands, you got to take a look and see how the flake is made. If it's beaten, it gets a hadama. If it's made out of milk corn, it gets a hadama. If it's made out of corn flour, that would only get a shahakal. What's the bracha on popcorn? Many people don't know this. What is popcorn? Popcorn, you just take the corn and you add heat, expose it to hot air, and that makes it pop. So it might not be in its original form, the original form of the corn, but you haven't ground up the corn, it's supposed to say that gets a hadama. It gets a hadama because the corn is not sufficiently changed to warrant the shahako. So it gets a hadama. Questions? Yeah.
What's the bracha on corn chips?
chips made. They're made by grinding up the corn. I think they would get a shahakal. Okay, anything that's made by milling the corn and simply beating it gets a hadama. But if you make it from some corn flour, it's not just beaten, but rather you grind up the corn, then it would get a shahakal. Okay. What's the bracha on desserts and appetizers? Let's say you eat fruits and vegetables as a dessert or as an appetizer, as the last course in the meal or as the first course. So, let's take first desserts, okay? So the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Kuf Ayin Zayin talks about eating cooked fruit as dessert, what they call kompot. Right, if you eat kompot for dessert, what bracha do you make on it? So the Mishnah Berurah says that since it's not coming with lazon, comes l'kinuach ba'al, it only comes to wash down the meal, it doesn't come with lazon. So it's separate from the meal. So you should make a ha'etz on that kompot. You make a separate bracha. You make a hadama on a vegetable that you eat separately. You probably don't eat a vegetable for dessert. But if you eat the fruit for dessert, then it gets a ha'etz. It gets a separate bracha because it's coming for kinuach, not for lazon. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes in Simekuv Ayin Zayin at the end of Sivkot and Ba'al. But they say that the Chafetz Chaim was chosev, the Chafetz Chaim retracted this later in life. My father once told me a story that he was once in Eretz Yisrael and he was eating, he was at some kind of a family simcha, and he was eating at the Suda, and they served cooked fruit for dessert. And my father was about to make a bracha, and someone who was there said, just a moment, I'll tell you a story. So he said when he was in Kfar Chassidim, which is the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael in the north, Rav Mishkovsky was a Talmud of the Chazan Ish, who was Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim, invited him once for a Suda on Shabbos, and after the Suda, they served kompot, they served cooked vegetables, and this individual was talking to my father, was about to make a bracha on it, and Rav Mishkovsky said, just a moment, I'll tell you a story. Because when he was in Radin, he was eating by the Chafetz Chaim, and as you can guess already what happened, they had a whole meal, and then at the end of the meal, they served kompot for dessert, and he was about to make a bracha, and the Chafetz Chaim says, just a moment. He didn't have a story to tell, but he said, just a moment, I'm not sure that you should make a bracha. He said, but really, I thought in the Mishnah Berurah, it's written that you should make a bracha on this, so the Chafetz Chaim says, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure because, he says, I'm not, there are many people who eat dessert as part of the meal, meaning they're eating it to fill themselves up. They're not just eating it as a kinuach. Akan Dvar, that's apparently what the Chafetz Chaim said. So the question is whether Bizman Hazeh is really true. The Sefer of the Saint Bracha quotes Rebbe Yoshev felt that Bizman Hazeh should definitely make a bracha on fruit that's served for dessert. Because he feels that people are not eating the fruit as part of the meal. They have a whole meal. We eat so much more nowadays. So dessert is really extra, Rebbe Yoshev thought. Dessert is extra, then you should make a separate bracha. It's only for kinuach, it's not for mazon. Chafetz Chaim was talking in a door that people didn't have as much to eat. So they didn't have as much to eat, so then even dessert was like, it was just, it was another course, but it was viewed as part of the meal, so it really shouldn't get, he felt, the Sof Yomav, that it shouldn't get a separate bracha. Rebbe Yoshev felt that Bizman Hazeh, that's not really the case. Bizman Hazeh, we really are eating the dessert as a separate course, so therefore it should get a separate bracha. And he says that even though the Rav Tzadikim v'Anshei Maisa were machmir on themselves, and they always try to eat whatever fruit they have for dessert, they eat with bread. They eat with the bread, mamish. There are some chassidim, some tzadikim, right? Anshei Maisa, some people who are machmir on themselves, they'll always eat it with bread. So eat it with bread, it doesn't get a shayla, there's no shayla, it doesn't get a bracha, it's part of the meal, mamish. So the Sefer B'Sein Bracha felt that that's not necessary. Rebbe Yoshev says you don't even have to be machmir for that. Okay, some Anshei Maisa are going to be machmir for that, but it's not even necessary to be machmir. He thought me'ikra adin, you can make a bracha, you should make a bracha on dessert because it's viewed as a separate course. It's really only l'kinuach. It's not l'mazon. No.
What if they bench first and then eat it after benching?
That's no question. So first of all, let's make a couple of comments here. If they serve a big Viennese table with lots of different food items, it could very well be that even during the meal, you do have to make a bracha on each and every item that they're serving. Because that's not viewed as part of the meal. They said they clean the whole table. In fact, it might be better if they were to bench before they serve that Viennese table, because it's confusing to people. People think, well, it's part of the meal. I'm still sitting at the same table. You can be sitting at the same table, but it's totally viewed as a separate pot. You had a very big meal, and now you're having a big dessert. In fact, many people, it really is for Muslim, you know, that people only eat, you know, a tiny amount of fish because they want to have the whole meal from the Viennese table. Okay, fine. But jokes aside, I think the Viennese table really is separate from the meal. I think people do have a decent-sized meal because they have the Viennese table. It's really, it's a separate table. It's a separate, it's almost like a separate meal. I think the Viennese table would get a separate broth. Conversely, if someone, let's say, is taking a bag lunch, and he prepares a bag lunch at home, has a sandwich, maybe some pretzels, maybe a drink, and an apple. Would you make a ha'etz on an apple? I think in that case, you would not make a ha'etz on an apple. Rabbi Willie very often takes a bag lunch. So I once asked him, I was talking to him in the middle of lunch, so we were talking about brachas. I saw he made a bracha on his apple. So we talked about it. So he told me, he says, the apple is part of my meal, meaning I have to fill myself up. So I take some different things, but it's not like I had such a big meal that I feel completely satisfied and the apple is just a kinuach. So he felt that if the apple is not a kinuach, then Avadah shouldn't get a separate bracha because it's really part of the meal. It's coming for Muslim, it's not coming for kinuach. Yes, Aaron?
In that case, wouldn't it depend when you eat? If you eat the apple, it's the last thing to me, but if you eat in between two of the things, if you had three things in the bag, once you eat the apple in between two of them.
No, Hamal, if you're having a small lunch, so if you eat the apple in between two things, it's certainly, if you wash, right, you certainly would not get a separate bracha. But even if you eat the apple at the end, the chiddush is even if you eat the apple not during the meal, you finished your sandwich, and you're eating the apple after the sandwich, I still think it shouldn't get a bracha, because you're having a very small meal. You're having a very small meal. The apple is not just a kinuach. It's lemazon. That's part of the meal. That's to satisfy you. It's to fill you up, I should say. It's to fill you up. If it's to fill you up, then it doesn't get a separate bracha because it's patted by the bread. Ellie?
Nowadays, everyone always knows you're a dessert, so they always like save room.
You always save room. So that's the shayla, right? The post can discuss that. Do you really save room? I think, unfortunately, a lot of people don't really save the room. They really should have saved the room. They don't save the room, but when they see the dessert, it's hard to hold back. You know, so it depends. I guess every person has to know themselves. Every person has to know themselves. If they really do save the room, then maybe you should make a bracha on the dessert. The mitzvah is, when you're talking about serving fruit for dessert, I don't think you need to save so much room. You really can, you know, fruit is watery enough that you can always find some room there for a little bit more. So that's the question. You know, is it coming with Muslim? I doubt it. I think there's manazeh. If you have a big meal, it's probably looking rough at home.
So would the best thing to be to do just a bench before putting out the whole salad?
I don't know. I think a person really... Look, it depends on the meal. I think if it's a typical... Look, I'll tell you, you know, when I have a typical Shabbos meal... A typical Shabbos meal, I feel pretty full afterwards. But then they'll serve some kind of dessert. They'll serve chocolates, or they'll serve some kind of fruit, fruit cup or something. So I would make a bracha on the fruit. I make a bracha on the fruit. I make a bracha on the chocolate. But on cake is a shayla, as we discussed. Right? Cake, is it possible? The kisna, is it not possible? Do you make a mezonos on possible the kisna or not? That's the whole discussion. On pie, if they serve apple pies, then I would make a mezonos on that. Cake, sponge cake, chocolate cake, something like that. Rabbi Willig holds it, you don't make a bracha. I don't want to make a bracha. Rabbi Shachter holds it, you do. We discussed it in great detail. But for other things that they serve at the end of a Shabbos meal, where you had cholent, and you had kugel, and you had a big meal, and you feel full, I would make a separate bracha, because I think that is for quinoa. It's not for Muslim. The chocolate jelly rings that they're serving, or whatever food they're serving, that's not to fill you up. You're full. But you're continuing with the conversation. You know, you're not going to bench yet. You're really full. So if you're really full, then I think it's probably appropriate to make a bracha. Shmuel.
Is it totally on the meal, like how it's set up, or is it totally on the individual person? As if you have a buffet where they have a salad table, a meat table, a dessert table, and there it's not being served separately at the end of the meal. If you want to go and have it at the end, you can have it at the beginning. It's not.
I hear what you're saying. You know, certainly if you're going to have the fruit in the middle of the meal and you're washing, then it wouldn't get a separate bracha. It depends on how much you're eating. You know, the gut reaction I have is that if it's only a buffet, how big could the meal be? But, you know, sometimes these buffets, these buffets can be a big meal. So it depends on the context. The person has to understand the principles, and based on the principles, you have to decide in the situation that you find yourself in. What's the bracha on appetizers? fruit or vegetables that come at the beginning of the meal, a fruit cup or something like that. So the Mishnah in Brachos on Daf and Gimel Amud Aleph says, Birech al ha'pas poter asaper peres. Birech al ha'pas poter asaper peres. What does parperis mean? That's the $64,000 question here. The Mishnah is saying that once you make a bracha, you make a hamotzi on the bread, so then you part of the parperis, you don't have to make a separate bracha on it. The question is, what is that? So Tosfos and Psachim and some other Rishonim write that parperis is something that comes before the meal to whet the appetite, to be megarit haivas achila, to whet the appetite. So what comes out from Tosfos is that the bread will pater, the hamotzi on the bread, will pater something, will pater making a bracha on something that comes to whet the appetite. Now, why would that be true? Well, it's a svara. Something that comes to whet the appetite is tofel to the ikka suda. The whole point is to whet the appetite that you'll be able to eat more in the suda, but then lechora should be tofel to the suda. Even though the item that you're eating is a davar meichel, right? It's a meichel, it's a fruit, it's a vegetable, but if it's coming just to whet the appetite, then it's botel to the suda, it's tofel to the ikka suda. So that's why the pas, the hamotzi on the pas, is going to pater. Now, there's no question that something that's not a fruit or a vegetable, if it's just like a mashke or ices or something like that, sometimes in the chasanas, so in the middle of the dance, they'll serve ices. Right? Some guy's walking around with ices. Now, what's the purpose of the ices? There are two purposes to it. First of all, they get sweated up from the dancing. And it's not just that. Even the older people who are just admiring, you know, all of the moves of the younger guys in yeshiva, even some of the older people who are standing on the outside, they also have the ices. What do they have the ices for? They're not all sweated up. The answer is that it's to whet the appetite for the next course. Right, so I don't think anyone would say that you make a bracha on that, because that's not a davar choshev by itself. But fruits and vegetables could be different, because the fruit or vegetable is a davar choshev kshavah atzma. So kam tosfis, tosim sochim, there's a Mordechai in Brachos that says like this. There are some rishonim that say that birech al ha'pas pater asaper peres means that hamotzi paters all fruits and vegetables that are eaten at the beginning of the meal to whet the appetite. So the Magen Avraham, in Siman Kufayin Dalid, points out that according to these Rishonim, one should not make a bracha on an appetizer, right? On an appetizer of fruits or vegetables. Right? Because the fruit or vegetable is not like fish. It's not like liver. Right? Fish or liver, that's muzzam. Right? Maybe it's not, you know, it's not meat. We normally assume that basa v'dohim, right? Fish and meat are the ikar muzzams. I would imagine liver is like basa. Liver is also muzzam. But fruits and vegetables are a little bit different. The fruit and the vegetable, one could say, maybe that comes to whet the appetite. And according to Tosfos and some other Rishonim, something that comes to whet the appetite is exempted through the pas. Talk to Magen Avraham, but it's not so clear. It's not so clear because not all Rishonim agree. The Rambam in Perash Mishnayos and Rashi, there in Brachos, seem to explain that parperis is not something that comes to whet the appetite. Rather, it's ikra suda, liftan, they say, liftan. The Rambam in Perash Mishnayos says that parperis is liftan. Liftan is something that you put on bread, anything you put on bread. That's fish and other items. Something that's normally eaten together with bread, meaning something that's part of the ikra suda. Rashi says, you know what parperis is? It's the davar habam machmas ha-suda. It's part of the Ikar HaSuda. So that's what the Mishnah is telling us. The Mishnah is saying that if you make a bracha on the pas, so you don't have to make separate brachas on all the other items in the meal. Right? Other items in the meal, the bas of the dog, that you use part of the meal, so that's automatically exempted by the bread. Maybe the chiddush of the Mishnah is that even if you don't eat the other items with the bread, you're not literally eating the fish with the bread, but since it's the Ikar HaSuda, so then the bread is going to exempt it. So according to Rashi and the Rambam, you don't get the impression that something that comes to whet the appetite doesn't get a separate bracha. That's not the Ikar HaSuda. So according to Rashi and the Rambam, that would get a separate bracha. So how should we paskin? So Machlokes Rishonim, what parperis means, so how do we paskin? Some of the poskim suggest that maybe there's another reason why we should make a separate bracha, make a ha'etz on the fruit cup. That's at the beginning of the meal. Because it's not so clear that a fruit cup really is whetting the appetite. Man is that it's not so clear that that's the purpose of the fruit cup. You're very hungry anyway. Right? When you're starting the meal, you're hungry. You know, you would not need something to whet the appetite. Why do you serve the fruit? The fruit is served very, very often. The fruit is served as an appetizer, served as a dessert. But the sikus balma, it's because it's sweet. It's a very pleasant way to start the meal. You don't want to start the, you know, you want to have a bigger meal, but you don't want to just serve the first course. You want to have multiple courses that you eat a little bit, then you can talk, chat, and you can have drushes, and you can have other things. You talk about a chasen and a sheva brachas. They want to have multiple courses. So they're not serving the fruit cup as an appetizer in the sense that it should whet your appetite and open and make it easier, you know, make it as if you'll be hungrier for the main course. That's not the goal. The goal is to have multiple courses. This is the mesikos, and then they have the soup that's not a mesikos, but the soup is another dimension to the meal. Then they have a main dish. They're all different courses. It's not that the fruit is coming to whet the appetite. And the same is true about a Shabbos meal. The Shabbos meal, we have multiple courses in the Shabbos meal. Certainly the Friday night meal, less so the Shabbos day. But certainly the Friday night meal is very common. Some will have fish, and then they'll have soup, and then they'll have the main dish, and they'll have dessert. It's just multiple courses. Some of the poskim say the whole idea, even according to those Rishonim, that papyrus, what is the purpose of papyrus is to whet the appetite. And that's why it doesn't get a bracha. Maybe in those times they would serve a papyrus to whet the appetite. But that's not what the fruit cup is for. That's what some of the poskim say. The purpose of the fruit cup is not to whet the appetite. It's l'mesikus ba'alma. It's the first course. So if it's the first course, then it's not batel for the ikar suda. It's not, but it isn't the ikar suda. It's not an ikar, meaning it's not an item that normally is eaten together with bread. No one eats fruit together with bread. So if it's there to whet the appetites, then you could say it's tofel for the ikar suda. That's why it doesn't get a separate bracha. But if you say that it's not tofel to the ikar suda because it's not coming to whet the appetite, then it's viewed as an independent unit. If it's viewed as an independent unit and it's normally not eaten with bread, then it can't be exempted by the bread. I think most poskim assume that putting two and two together, putting the sheet of the Rambam and Perash HaMishnayos with Rashi, that parparis is not something that comes to whet the appetite, but rather it's ikar asuda. Rashi and the Rambam would say that even something coming to whet the appetite gets a separate bracha. And putting that sheet together with the fact that the mitzvah is bisman hazeh, it could be that the fruit cup is not coming to whet the appetite, but it's just a separate course. And if it's a separate course, then we have to view it independent of the ikar suda. So if it's independent of the ikar suda and it's normally not eaten with bread, then it would get a separate bracha. So I think that's the minhag. I think most poskim assume that a fruit cup at the beginning of the meal does get a separate bracha. And fruit cups at the end of the meal, it depends how big the meal is, but if it's a really big meal, it's coming with kinu l'vama, that would get a separate bracha as well. What bracha does it get? So we discussed ikar v'tofel. Right? If you have a little hadam and a little ha'etz there, right? So it should depend on rov. Right? If it's rov hadamas, then you just make a hadamah. If it's rov ha'etz, then you make ha'etz, and you ponder all the other items. You don't have to make separate brachas. We said to Machlokas Aposkim, the stomach, we pass them like the prima donna that the Magen Avraham calls, that it's all a function of rov. So whatever the rov is, that's the bracha that you make on the food cup. I saw a hand up.